السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. السلام
عبد
عليكم.
الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
الحمد لله، نحمده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، our book is الأدب المفرد by الإمام البخاري رحمه الله أبو عبد الله. We are upon issues on the adab connected to adhkar and dua. Regarding our dealings with Allah, we had discussed issues of our adab, our manners, our conduct regarding relatives, parents, children, neighbors, even slaves, the Muslim who is ill, the Muslim, and all other kinds of our dealings with fellow human beings. But Al-Imam al-Bukhari, after all that, rahimahullah, he chose to give us some guidelines too, from the lines of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, regarding our manners, regarding our conduct about dua to Allah and about our adhkar of Allah, our remembrance of Allah. The first chapter he discussed about that is ma yaqul idha asbaha, what the individual would say when he wakes up in the morning. By that, he did not only want to say that we start our mornings with adhkars. Many of us, immediately after Salatul Fajr, we start our mornings with checking the phones. Ikhwa, start your mornings with adhkars. Unless you have a darura, start your mornings with adhkars. Or perhaps you want to check what time is it. When you woke up very early in the night, you want to check the time, you want to make wudu, you want to observe Qiyam al-Layl and do some dua. Let it not be that you're reading, you're studying, you're checking for the news of the day will be the first thing you will do. After Salatul Fajr, Ari Rahimahullah said, ما يقول إذا أصبح, what is it that you should do when you start your day? Apart from encouraging us to start our days with adhkars after Salatul Fajr, Al-Imam al-Bukhari seeks to make us understand that every part of the day is full of adhkars. All parts of the day and all our activities have adhkars that we should say. When you wake up in the morning, when you go out of the house, when you come back to the house, when you go to the masjid, when you come out of the masjid, when you step into the masjid, when you walk from the masjid to the house, when you go to work, when you come back from work, when you go into the toilet, when you come out of the toilet, in every circumstance there's adhkar. There are adhkars to say. This is the major point of reference. And I remember that we encouraged us to go back with dhikr for every condition that Allah mentioned repeatedly. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and women. He followed that with a chapter about tips about dua. Very, very beneficial. One of them is dua lil ikhwah aw lil muslim bi dhahri al ghayb. Making dua for a Muslim when he is absent. He called it Babu man da'a fi ghayrihi min ad-du'a. The one who makes dua for others. You are making your dua. Rabbi ighfir li warham. O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, have mercy on me. And then you move for your brother too. Allahumma ighfir li fulanin warham fulanan. O Allah, grant forgiveness to brother so 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 so. O Allah, show mercy upon the brother so 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 so. And apart from the hadith that he mentioned, rahimahullah, which was the dua of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam for Prophet Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, we mentioned a hadith from Sahih Muslim and other books of hadith where the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that ma min mu'minin yad'u li akhihi bi dhahri. There is no person of iman. Ma min mu'minin yad'u li akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb. There is no person of iman who makes dua for his brother bi dhahri al-ghayb in the absence of that brother. Illa qala al-malak al-muwakkal, except that the angel who is placed in charge of him will say Ameen. Walaka bimithlihi. Ameen. Walaka bimithlihi. Allah accept your dua. May Allah accept your dua. Walaka bimithlihi. May you get the like of what? May you get the like of what you make dua. May you get the like of what you ask for your brother. And that was what our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha, it was reported from her that the person who was most brotherly amongst human beings was Musa alayhi salam. Because when Allah made him a Rasul, he said, Allah, make my brother a Rasul too. And that was Harun. That's from the biggest thing anybody would achieve. After being a messenger of Allah, Rasul, is there any bigger thing to achieve? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah made him a Rasul. He said, Allah, my brother, make my brother too. Make my brother a Rasul too. So Allah made Musa and Harun, two brothers from the same mother. Musa and Harun were from the same mother. And Harun was a year older than Musa alayhi salam. Harun was born in the year when Fir'aun would leave the male children. Musa was born in the year that followed it, when Fir'aun would kill male children. Because Fir'aun, he left the male children for 1 year. He killed the male children for 1 year. So Allah made him have, made Musa's mother to have boys in the 2 years. The year when he spared the male children of Bani Israel, Allah gave the mother of Musa Harun alayhi salam. In the year when he was killing the male children of Bani Israel, Allah gave the mother of Musa Musa alayhi salam. So Harun alayhi salam was born in the year when the male children were spared. Musa alayhi salam was born in the year when the male children were killed. Not only that, he sent Musa to Fir'aun to grow up in the house of Fir'aun. So when Allah made Musa alayhi salam to have to go to Fir'aun, Musa asked Allah, my brother too. It said that to us, so making dua for our brother is from the biggest and from the best manners of making dua. Look for a brother who needs what you need. Make dua, Allah will grant you that thing, and He will grant your brother. Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma min mu'minin yad'u li akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb illa qala al-malak al-muwakkal amin wa laka bi mithlihi amin wa laka bi mithlihi. The second manner al-Imam al-Bukhari taught us in this book and conduct regarding dua and adhkar, he called it babu al-nakhilati min ad-dua, yani babu al-khalisati min ad-dua. The chapter about those ones that are sincere from our dua, sincere dua, the chapter about dua that is sincere for Allah, the dua that you direct the dua to Allah, and the circumstance of your making dua is free from riya'u and as-sum'ah. You made the dua to Allah. You are asking from Allah alone. You are following the manners of dua. And in all of that, there is no riya connected to it, that you may be seen. And there is no as-sum'ah connected to it, that you may be praised for it. That is not connected for it. So this is a dua unnakhila. So he called it a nakhila to mean a dua. When he says something is nakhila, it is safiya, khalifa, free from dirt, free from impurities. In this case, the impurities of insincerity. When the dua is free from that, that is the dua Allah would accept. We remember that Ar-Rabi', one of the students in the times of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he came to Al-Qamatu and Abdul Rahman ibn Yazid. This is Hadith 606. He was telling Al-Qama ibn Yazid that Alam taro akthara ma yad'u nas wa ma aqalla ijabata. I do not wonder about how much people make dua. People make dua, make dua, make dua. وَمَا أَقَلَّ إِجَابَةً. And how so few that they are answered. Are you not surprised? People are making dua, making dua, making dua. And how so little they get what they want from Allah. Yes, they say dua, dua, dua. And Al-Qamatu Ibn Waqqas in Al-Layth, Al-Qamatu ibn Qais al-Nakhli, rahimahullah, began to explain the reason for that. People make dua, but they don't get results. One of the reasons for that was the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, when he said, La yasma'u Allahu min muslim. La yasma'u Allahu min muslim. This was actually the last hadith we read in the last class. La yasma'u Allahu min muslim. Allah will not answer. Allah will not listen to musmi'in, the one who makes the dua, li yusmi'a an-nas, just to make people see, just to make people hear him. People should hear. He makes the dua to seek popularity. That's just the dua. He's making the dua asking Allah, but he wants to be seen. He wants to become popular for the dua. May Allah protect us. Wala murai. The other one wants to be seen. This one wants to be heard. The other one wants to be seen. This one wants popularity. The other wants to show off. May Allah protect us. Wala la'ibin. Likewise, the one who is upon dua, or his attention is not upon the dua. Wa huwa la'ibun. As if he was playing. is making the dua, but the attention is not upon the dua. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, Raziallahu anhu, لا يسمع الله من مسمع ولا مراهن ولا لاعب. Allah would not listen to the supplications of a musmi', the musmi', the one who seeks popularity, wala murahin, the one who wants to show off with the dua, wala la'ibin, the one who is making the dua but his attention is absent from it. All of these things are impurities. They destroy the purity of your dua. He now said, illa da'in da'a yathbutu min qalbihi, illa da'in, except that person who is making the dua. Da'a, he makes the dua, yathbutu min qalbihi, and it becomes affirmed right from his mind. Your dua is affirmed from your mind, and you are not doing it to make people praise you. Neither are you making that dua to be shown to the people. May Allah protect us from these evils. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that man samma Allah bihi. Man samma Allah bihi. Woman ra'a, woman yura'i Allah bihi. Man sama'a Allah bihi. Woman yura'i Allah bihi. Man sama'a Allah bihi. Anyone who does something, he makes dua, he makes his ibadah for popularity seeking. Sama'a Allah bihi. Allah will raise him up on the day of Qiyamah and show him to the people. This man, don't mind him. He was just making the dua to seek popularity. May Allah protect us. Woman yura'i, the one who makes dua, he makes ibadah, li yura, just for him to be seen, for sure. Yura'i Allahu bihi. Allah will bring him up on the day of Qiyamah to disgrace that his evil intentions. So dua must be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be asking and directing our supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they should be free from evil intentions of show-off and popularity seeking. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and I from this evil. Because we know in the days of our social media what this means. May Allah protect us all. The hadith we'll be looking at today comes from Babun li azim ad-du'a fa inna Allah la mukriha lahu. The chapter about let the individual li babun aw babu li azim ad-du'a. Let the individual li azim, let him be firm, let him be clear, let him be insistent in his dua. Be insistent in your dua, be clear in your dua, be attentive in your dua. Fa inna Allah la mukriha lahu, because Allah does not have any person to compel him over anything. Nobody will compel Allah. So if you ask him firmly, he will give you, because you can't compel him, subhanahu. So ask him firmly, be firm, be clear, be insistent in your asking him. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مُكْرِيهَ لَهُ, because Allah does not have anything or anybody that compels him to do anything. You're asking upon insistence, being firm, it cannot translate into your compelling Allah, because you can't compel him. It's beyond your compelling him. So ask him firmly, and ask him upon what? Insistence. You're asking him firmly, you're asking him upon insistence, cannot mean that you want to compel him. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مُكْرِهَ لَهُ. Because Allah does not have anyone who can compel him to do anything. The first hadith under this chapter is Hadith 607, where Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدِ ibn عُبَيْدِ اللَّهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ ibn أَبِي حَازِمْ أَنِ الْعَلَىٰ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إذا دعا أحدكم فلا يقول إن شئت وليعظم المسألة وليعظم الرغبة فإن الله لا يعظم عليه شيء أعطاه إذا دعا أحدكم فلا يقول إن شئت وليعظم المسألة وليعظم الرغبة فإن الله لا يعظم عليه شيء أعظم. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from his Sheikh محمد بن عبيد الله أبو ثابت الكرشي. محمد بن عبيد الله is أبو ثابت الكرشي. He is reporting from that scholar, from the scholars of fiqh in Al-Madina, Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Hazm. He was from the scholars of Medina, rahimahullah. And he is asking from his sheikh, that well-known scholar of hadith, Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub, Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub, who is reporting from his father, عبد الرحمن ابن يعقوب. العلاء ابن عبد الرحمن ابن يعقوب is reporting from his father عبد الرحمن ابن يعقوب, who was a student of Abu Hurairah. Well known عبد الرحمن ابن يعقوب from the students of Abu Hurairah, Abu العلاء, the father of who? العلاء. Fortunately, this report is from the report of العلاء from who? From his father عبد الرحمن ابن يعقوب, who is reporting from his own Shaykh, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad, that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam has said that, إِذَا دَعَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يَقُولُ, when any of you makes dua, from the manners of dua, is that, إِذَا دَعَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يَقُولُ إِن شِئْتَ, let him not say, if you desire, if you like saying, Allahumma in shi'ta fa'atin, oh Allah, if you like, give me this, oh Allah, if you like, give me this. Do not say, if you like. Do not say, if you desire. Do not say, if you wish, in your dua. Do not say that. It is from bad manners regarding dua. إِذَا دَعَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يَقُولُ, when any one of you makes dua, let him not say in shi'ta, if you like saying, Allahumma in shi'ta, oh Allah, if you like, then you start asking. No, don't say that. Or if you wish, oh Allah, if it is in your wish, then give me this. No, don't say that. إِذَا دَعَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يَقُولُ in shi'ta, when any of you makes dua, let him not say, if you like. وليعظم المسألة. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he said we should bring azmu, determination in our dua, in our request. وليعظم المسألة. Let the asking be of what? Azm. Let it be upon determination. Let it be upon affirmation. Be affirmative. Allah, give me this. Allah, give me this. Allah, give me this. I beg you in your name. I ask you by your power. I ask you by your mercy. Allah, give me this. Allah, give me that. Allah, do this for me. Allah, protect me. وَلْيَعْظِمِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. Let the asking, let it be upon affirmation. Let it be upon clear-cut determination. Let it be affirmative. Ask affirmative, affirming. Ask affirmatively, as they say. وليعزم المسألة. Let the asking be upon affirmation. Don't say if give me if you want. Give me if you want. إثر عليه الصلاة والسلام وليعزم الرغبة. Let your رغبة, your desire for it, make it big. Make it be clear that you are really desirous of what you are asking. Many times people make dua as if they are far away, as if they are just making the dua as a trial. Let me try dua. In fact, I hear people say things like, let's try dua. This is not al-azmu in mas'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us, وَلْيَعْظِمِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. Be affirmative in your asking. وَلْيُعَظِّمِ الرَّغْبَةِ. Let it be clear that you really want what you ask. Be affirmative. Show your desire. Express clear-cut desire. Make it be that I really want you to do this for me, Ya Rab. Do it for me. Give me, Ya Rab. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْظُمُ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ أَعْظَمُ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَعْظُمُ عَلَيْهِ إِعْطَاءُ شَيْءٌ. There is nothing that is big for Allah to give you. So don't ask as if what you are asking is too big. Allah may not give you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَعْظُمُ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ أَعْظَمُ. There is nothing. لا يعظم عليه شيء أعطاه. يعني إعطاء شيء لا يعظم عليه. He's giving you something cannot be big for him. سبحانه. There is nothing that Allah cannot give you. إن الله على كل شيء قدير. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is absolutely able to do everything. Of course, there are limits to this. What you can ask limits to what you can. For example, can somebody be asking, a male be asking, Allah make me a woman? You shouldn't be asking about this. Isn't Allah able to do? Is able to do that? But he has prohibited you from doing that. So if he has prohibited you from doing that, it also goes along with it that you are prohibited from asking him for that. The same thing. Begging Allah regarding breaking family ties. Don't beg Allah to break family ties. Why? He has prohibited you from that. It's like begging Allah to make you be able to steal money. Those working in government and in other places, you'll be begging Allah, Allah make it possible. And what you are asking is a matter of sin. Why should you ask him for sin? Someone wants to make me Allah protector. Someone wants to make zina. He's begging Allah to make it be possible. Don't beg Allah for that. Why? He has prohibited you from zina. How do you now beg him to give you the same thing that he has prohibited you from? It is from the manners of dua. Don't ask for a thing of disobedience to Allah in your dua. Don't ask for a thing of disobedience in your dua. Don't ask for a thing of sin and iniquity in your dua. You are making dua, and what you are asking for is a sin. Is an act of disobedience to Allah. Don't ask Allah for disobedience, because it's like saying that you ask him to make it easy for you to disobey me. That is not lawful. That dua is not lawful. And Allah is able to do all things. But that you're asking is unlawful. He does not want you to ask him for that which is unlawful, because it will aid you upon disobedience to him. Dua is an act of obedience. So why do you obey him to achieve a disobedience to him? Why would you like to obey him to bring about disobeying him? So don't ask Allah for a thing of a sin. Ask Allah for goodness. He says, what's Allah min fadlihi? Ask Allah from his bounties. Whatever you think you want to ask him that is indecent and from the acts of disobedience to him, wallahi, there are multitudes in it that are from lawful means and that are far better than what you're asking of him. If it's about a woman or if it's about a man, you always have those better. Even in our day-to-day language, we say beautiful ones are yet unborn. So Don't ask Allah for something that is unlawful. Ask Him for something that is what? That is lawful. When you ask, Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wal ya'zim al mas'ala. Be firm in your asking. Wal ya'zim al rugba. Show desire for what you ask. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, fa inna Allah la ya'zumu alayhi shay'un a'dahu. Because there is not anything that Allah gives that is too big for Him. Giving you anything cannot be too big. So ask Allah for goodness. Ask Allah, if you're a young man seeking a job, Allah give me a halal job. Allah give me a good job that's halal. Allah give me a good job that is halal. Ask for goodness from Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that is too big for Him to give you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one that is al-azim, the one who is absolutely mighty, and He is al-wahhab, the one who gives and gives and gives endlessly. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-razzaq, the one who is absolutely rich, superfluously rich in the absolute sense of the words. He has what to give. He is a giver, and He is a mighty person that's not overwhelmed by what He gives. Nothing can overwhelm Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us all. He said, إِذَا دَعَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يَقُولُ إِنْ شَيْطَانٍ. When any one of us makes dua, let him not say, if you wish, if it is by your wish. وَلْيَعْظِمِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. Let him make his asking to be affirmative, to be clear. While you asking rogba, let your desire be clearly visible. Allah, I want what I'm asking. I want what I'm asking. Let it be clear. For in Allah, la ya'zumu alayhi shay'un a'tah, because there is nothing that the giving of it will overpower Allah. Nothing will Allah give you that the giving becomes overpowering for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that hadith is clear. The next hadith is in the meaning of these two. That is hadith 608. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Muhammad ibn Salam, wa la akhbarana Ismail ibn Ulayyah, an Abdul Aziz ibn Suhayb, عن أنس بن مالك قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إذا دعا أحدكم فليعظم في الدعاء إذا دعا أحدكم فليعظم في الدعاء ولا يقل اللهم إن شئت فأعطني فإن الله لا مستكره له. Said alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا دَعَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَعْزِمْ فِي الدُّعَى وَلَا يَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ شِئْتَ فَأَعْتِنِي فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مُسْتَكْرِهَ لَهُ. Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikani. We have repeatedly read his hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. If you go back to hadith 605, it was also from the hadith of Abu Ja'far al-Bikandi, one of the first persons that Al-Imam al-Bukhari took knowledge from, Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikandi, rahimahullah. He is reporting from Ismailu ibn Ibrahim ibn Ulayya. Ismail ibn Ulayya is ascribed to one of his mothers, his mother or his grandmother. She was Ulayya, from the scholars in the city at the time. Rahimahullah. So Ismail is like ascribing Ismail to that woman who was a very learned person. But his father's name was Ibrahim. So he is Ismail ibn Ibrahim. As for Ulayya, That was the name of one of his mothers, Rahimahullah, who was described with a lot of knowledge, a lot of good deeds, a lot of sadaqat. This one will bring to our mind the passing away of one of our sisters, Ummu Zaid. May Allah be pleased with her. Last night, stroke today, is the second night she has passed in the grave. May Allah make the grave a means of goodness for her, a garden from the gardens of Al-Jannah, as the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and not bring us into fitna after her. She was heavily pregnant. And then, you know, some women have emergencies of high blood pressure during pregnancy. They'd had it before pregnancy. So with pregnancy, sometimes it becomes a surges. I think she had a surge and then connected to delivery. And then she passed away two days ago, the night of Thursday, Wednesday, stroke Thursday. That woman is a very learned woman. She is a model sister. Why do I call her a model sister? She memorized the Quran. She perfected Arabic. Brothers, when I said she perfected Arabic as a language, and she learned many books. She, in fact, the day she passed away, she still taught her students. On Wednesday, she taught her students that Wednesday. She had lessons. She had planned for some of them for Thursday. May Allah be pleased with this woman. Very, very, very good. Very good sister. Very calm. Very, very sedate. Very calm. Very calm. And her husband has been saying a lot of good things about her. May Allah be pleased with her. May Allah forgive her. May Allah care for her. May Allah protect her home. May Allah care for her children after her. May Allah care for her husband and her co-wife after her. Co-wife also has very good efforts. Someone I have known for over 25 years pursuing knowledge. I remember she deliberately traveled up north, the co-wife with her husband, to make muraja of Quran at that time, 25 years ago. Not now that Hifdhul Quran has become everywhere. At that time, you have to make super efforts to be able to memorize the Quran. He also has a madrasa for girls. May Allah take care of all of them after Ummu Zaid. Ummu Zaid was a very good sister, very good, very good. And at the day of the janaza, I'm sure we all see what happened. We all see what happened. The maqbara was filled to the brim with brothers, sisters, people who came to observe Salatul Janaza. Everywhere was filled up on the day that she passed away. May Allah forgive Ummu Zaid and bring a lot of the likes of Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn Ulayya from her children, because Ismail ibn Ulayya was a very, very brilliant from amongst the scholars in the past. Ya Arhamar Rahim. So Ibn Ulayya, his mother brought our attention to Ummu Zaid, who just passed away. May Allah forgive her. He was reporting from Abdul Aziz ibn Suhaib al-Basri, rahimahullah, from the students of Anas ibn Malik, who said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Iza da'a ahadukum falya'azim fi dua. When any one of you makes dua, falya'azim fi dua, let him come into that dua with ilhah and al-jazm. Ilhah is asking, asking, asking. Don't stop. Al-jazm is being affirmative. Affirm repeatedly. Ask. Allah give me. Allah give me. Allah give me. Ask with ilhah. Ilhah is you are asking, asking, asking. Add that to al-jazm. Being affirmative, repeated, affirmatively asking. This is what we should bring into our dua. وَلَا يَقُلْ أَلَّهُمَّ إِنْ شِئْتَ فَأَعْتِنِ. Let you not say, do not say, أَلَّهُمَّ إِنْ شِئْتَ فَأَعْتِنِ. Oh Allah, if you like, give me. If you like, give me. فإن الله لا مستكره له. Because Allah does not have anyone who can compel him to do anything. So you're asking with ilha, with repetition, and the affirmation does not count as ikra, because you cannot do ikra. Does not count as forcing Allah, because you can't force him. So be affirmative in your asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your needs. In another expression of this hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ صَانِعُ مَّا شَاءَ لَا مُكْرِهَ لَهُ. Allah does what he wants. Nobody can compel him. So don't think that when you affirm, don't think that when you insist, when you ask repeatedly, then that means that you are compelling Allah. No. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مُكْرِهَ لَهُ. Allah has not anyone or anything that can compel him to do or not to do. In the first expression, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْظُمُ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ أَعْضَوْ. And nothing that Allah gives you is too big. So nothing that he gives you is too big for over him. And that nothing that you ask him will count as if you are compelling him. You cannot compel Allah. So ask him, be firm, be clear, be attentive in your mind. We read that in the last hadith. Be attentive. And if you are not attentive, there is no way you can be affirmative. So affirm, be attentive, repeat. Let it be clear that you are truly desirous of what you are asking. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مُسْتَكْرِهَ لَهُ. Allah has not anything that can compel him to do whatever he does. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think those issues are clear from the narrations in this chapter. And I think we can conveniently move to another chapter regarding another manner, another good conduct in terms of our dua. That is raf'ul aydi fi dua. Babu raf'ul aydi fi dua. The chapter about raising the hands in dua. From the manners of dua is that we raise our hands. From the manners in dua is that we raise our hands up, raising the hands up. And under this chapter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned about 8 ahadiths regarding raising the hands in dua. About 8 ahadiths have been mentioned regarding raising our hands in dua. So we're going to spend a little of the time. Ikhwa, when you make dua, raise your hands. When you make dua, raise your hands. Imam al-Bukhari is reporting this hadith from Ibrahim ibn al-Munzir Abu Ishaq al-Qurashi, one of his teachers, rahimahullah. This scholar said, كان له علم بالحديث ومروءة وقدر وقدر. That this Imam, له علم بالحديث. He has vast knowledge about the science of hadith. ومروءة. He was a person of good conduct, and he has esteem. He has a high place amongst the people. Rahimahullah, Ibrahim ibn al-Munzir. He was from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. He was reporting from Muhammad ibn Fulayh. Muhammad ibn Fulayh is the son of Fulayh ibn Sulayman. Fulayh ibn Sulayman has a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. There are issues about his personality. But Al-Bukhari selected perfectly his ahadith. Fulayh ibn Sulayman. Imam Al-Bukhari perfectly selected what is dependable from the hadith of Fulayh ibn Sulayman. And he is the one reporting from Abu Nu'aym, Wahab ibn Kaysan, Al-Qurashi. Fulayh ibn Sulayman is reporting from Wahab ibn Kaysan, from amongst the Tabi'un, who said, رأيت ابن عمر وابن الزبير يدعوان يديران بالراحتين على الوجه يديران بالراحتين على الوجه. فالبخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا إبراهيم بن المنذر ولا حدثنا محمد بن فليح ولا أخبرني أبي عن أبي نعيم وهو وهب قال رأيت ابن عمر وابن الزبير يدعوان يديران بالراحتين على الوجه. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله with his isnad going back to Wahab ibn Kaysan al-Qurashi. He is Wahab ibn Kaysan al-Qurashi. He said, Ra'aytu ibn Umar. I saw Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Abdurrahman, ibn Zubayr. I also saw Abdullah ibn Zubayr, radiallahu anhumah. We know the two of them. Ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Ibn Zubayr, the son of Zubayr ibn Awwam. Radiallahu anhum. These are children of very noble people who are also noble people. Abdullah ibn Umar and who? Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Radiallahu anhum. This Tabi'i, Wahab ibn Kaysan al-Qurashi said, I saw the two of them, Yadruwan. They were making dua. I saw them making dua. While they made dua, Yudirani birrohate, they had their two palms. Yudirani birrohateini al-wajh. Their two palms formed something like a circle in front of their face. In front of their face, their two palms formed something like a circle in front of their face. So when we make dua, that is the correct way to raise up our hands. Connect your palms together. Make it like a circle covering your face. Connect your two palms together. The way to raise our hands up when we make dua. Some people raise it towards the heavens. Yes, we are coming back to these things, like those, inshallah. But what Al-Bukhari is reporting is that you make the two palms as if they are covering the face. You make the two palms. Silence. Irani bin Rohatini ala al-wajh. They brought these two. But here, what the message is that they employ their palms as if it's like a circle covering their faces. That is one of the ways to raise our palms in dua. This was from Abdullah ibn Umar, and who? Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He did this while making dua. It was reported to us by Wahab ibn Kaysan. Some of the scholars of hadith have varied with Al-Imam al-Albani in terms of the ruling of this hadith. Imam al-Albani rules the hadith as weak. That is what we will see on the screen, hadith 609. That Al-Imam al-Bukhari grades the hadith weak. because of Muhammad ibn Fulay and his father Fulay ibn Sulayman. They are well known, but others amongst the scholars like Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he greats this hadith Hasan. Others amongst the scholars like Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he greats the hadith, he greats it Hasan. If I find somebody saying that the hadith is Hasan, I will not bother about it. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, he greats the hadith Daif because of Muhammad ibn Fulayh. Because of Muhammad ibn Fulayh, he also said, and his father, Fulayh ibn Sulayman. Fulayh ibn Sulayman has reports in Sahih al-Bukhari. And that was because Al-Imam al-Bukhari carefully selected what the man had carefully, authentically reported from his teachers. He had those reports in his Sahih. Even though in many of them, he brought their hadith with a supporting, corroborating proof that makes us understand that the man was right in those cases, in those reports. But here they are occurring alone. Both Muhammad and his father Fulayh, they are occurring alone in this report. So bismillah, if there are corroborating evidences, then it will be a hadith on Hasan without any worry. But as it is alone, unless we're able to find other corroborating evidences, it appears that Allah knows best that this hadith is weak. I just felt to mention it so that we don't have a brother mentioning during the question time that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar graded hadith Hasan. Perhaps he found a corroborating evidence for it. I can even look at that again. But what I have in my mind now is that when Al-Bukhari reports from Muhammad ibn Fulayh and Fulayh ibn Sulayman, father and son in Sahih al-Bukhari, he usually comes with mutaba'at and ash-shawahid. It's always coming with mutaba'at in Sahih al-Bukhari, except in issues of al-Raqa'id, in issues of adab. Al-Bukhari is reported without mentioning mutaba'at. I'm talking about Sahih al-Bukhari. Maybe that is the reason why he has reported it here without mutaba'a or without a shahid. Allahu alam. We can come back to this hadith in terms of verifying the authenticity because we can see that the scholars have discussions here and there regarding it. However, the approach, the manner of raising the hands of is verified from other reports, inshallah, that the Prophet, that the companions, radiallahu anhum, when they raised their hands for dua, the two palms joined together as if they are covering the face, as a round, something round, covering the roundness of the face. Put the palms together, put it right opposite the face, as if you are covering the face with the two palms. That is one of the ways to raise the hands during dua. I hope that it is clear, inshallah. And I think that we can stop here. We can come back to other ahadith. We have about 9 ahadith or thereabouts in this bab. We'll be picking them one after the other regarding the value of raising of the hands and how to raise the hands and the like of that, which are from the manners of making dua. Then after that, Al-Bukhari rahimahullah tells us about Sayyidul Istighfar. He suggested to us some adhkars regarding asking Allah for forgiveness, making salah to Allah Nabi, and the value of making salah to Allah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the life of all of these. This entire area is all about the manners about dua and issues about dua and adhkar. I think we can stop here today, inshallah. and see whether we have a few questions we can attend to today about the Rahman.
صلوات الله عليكم يا شيخ.
آمين وإياكم.
Now the first question is, is it the same as you saying inshallah when making dua? We won't fall into one not being affirmative in dua.
Inshallah, it has two forms. Inshallah can be used as an istisna, like saying if Allah likes or if Allah wills. So if he does not will, I will not come. And sometimes inshallah can be used bil jazmi. It can be used for affirmation to show I will certainly do it. Just like the son of Ibrahim in As-Saffat, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to his son Ismail, Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. The boy said, if'al ma tu'mar satajiduni inshallah min as-sabiri. He's not saying maybe he'll be patient, maybe he will not be patient. He is affirming that I will certainly be patient. The boy Ismail affirmed to his father Ibrahim, I will be patient. He's not saying inshallah, maybe if Allah wills, maybe if Allah doesn't will. He's not using it as an istisna. So sometimes inshallah can be in the affirmative, and sometimes inshallah can be as we normally use it, to say, well, maybe Allah can will that. When we are not sure, when we become doubtful and unsure, we say inshallah too. When we only think maybe, but sometimes it is used to guarantee that that thing will be done. So if it is used sometimes like this in dua, used in the sense of an affirmation like Ismail did, inshallah, it will be done. And with the intention of an affirmation, there is no blame, inshallah. But to go away from khilaf or anything that we resemble having another meaning different from the meaning that you intend, is better to be clear cut in your dua. That's why in many of the dua of the Prophet, you will not see him saying inshallah. There is no inshallah. He will make the dua. He will be affirmative in it, asking what he wants, begging Allah for it, and making his request. So I think don't add inshallah, even if it is with the second meaning of affirmation. Avoid it, because you see it not present in the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So you too remove it from your dua. I hope that it is clear.
Another question is, how is Qadr and dua related?
The relationship between Qadr and dua will be treated properly in some details in Ad-Da'u wa Dawa. Ibn al-Qayyim devoted close to 15 pages to discuss the relationship between dua and qadr. Maybe because of that hadith that la yaruddu al-qadr illa dua. There are so many meanings of this. So, but one thing about the two of them is that they are both from the qadr of Allah. That you make dua is from the qadr of Allah. That thing will change is from the qadr of Allah. That you make dua again is from Allah's qadr. Because everything, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِنْدَهُ بِمِكْدَارٍ, everything is already written down. Everything is written down in Allah's book, in Allah's recording. It is documented. So, and he has done that long ago before we were created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything is documented. So that you make dua is part of Qadr itself. That when you make dua, I will change what I had written down that the written down will be changed to is already written down, that that change will come. So make your dua, ask Allah for what you want. Go on, live your life with it. Make your dua. Hope in goodness. In making dua, you have rewards for making dua. In your hoping in Allah, you have rewards for it. So, and the two of them, if you do it, they are in the Qadr, that He will do it. That He will give you, it's in the Qadr. That He will give you something else, it's in the Qadr, but you don't know that. So what you know is that He says you should ask Him. So do that, that is between your own, within your own knowledge. Ask Him, and the way He wants you to ask Him. So what will now happen after that? Tomorrow, He alone knows. Maybe He will give you exactly what He has written. He alone knows what He has written. You don't know that one. But you know that one way to ask Him for what you want is dua. So ask Him. Ask. Ask. So aside getting what you want, dua is not just about getting what you want. Dua is ibadah. You are also worshipping Him when you make dua. Keep this in your mind. Many times people make dua. It's just all about, I want what you want. No, it's not just about what you want. When you make dua, you are also doing what? You are making ibadah. So two things come. You want what you want. You are also serving Him. So if you serve Him, you get the reward. If you make dua to Him, you get the reward. That's why when you direct dua to any other thing apart from Allah, it's a shirk. You become an enemy of Allah. So two things are inside dua. You are showing your poverty. You are showing your need of Him. And then you are asking Him from His bounties. So do the two. Now He gives you something better than what you ask for. Many times we don't know. You are asking for a car. You could have been affected by cancer. How is that? Instead of giving you a car, He protects you from cancer. How is that? If a person has a cancer, can he ride Lamborghini? So unfortunately, because wakanal insanu ajula, human beings are so much in a hurry. وَيَدُعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. An individual will be asking for something that is evil because of his limited knowledge. The way you should ask for something that is good, but he doesn't know that what he's asking for is not even the best for him. Allah says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Mankind, they are always in a haste. So Allah will give you that which is best for you. If you are sincere in your dua, it may be that it is the one that you are asking for that sincere. He gives it to you. He may give you something better than that. A fitna, a trial may be coming your way. Allah uses that dua to protect you from that fitna. Meanwhile, you don't know. You are waiting for what you want. Meanwhile, He has protected you from an evil that is bigger than what you want. That will make what you want, if He gave you what we want, to be useless. So make dua. Ask Allah. Hope in Him. Look forward to goodness from Him. And wait for what He will give you. If He gives you what you want, say Alhamdulillah. If He gives you better, you say Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. If He has given you something, not what you want, but if you look around deeply with good wisdom, you will know that He has answered your dua. Even if you didn't get what you want exactly, perhaps this is better than what He has given me. How many times, Ikhwa, young boys, let me use this as an example. In your university days, you wanted to marry a sister. I know a brother like this. He was really interested in marrying the woman. Now the woman only has one child in 30 years. One child. The other brother has many children. So perhaps if he had gotten that one, he would just have one child. So many things happen that we don't know about. Sometimes He gives you another one, you think that, but this is what I want. The one He has given you is better than what you are even asking for. So make dua. That you make dua is part of His qadar. That He will change what was written for you is part of the qadar. That here it will change here and become this when this person makes this dua. So all of these are already written down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these greater details, the bigger details, fuller evidencing regarding the connection between Dua and Qadar, Bismillah, will be discussed in the book on Ad-Dawa by Al-Hafiz Ibn Al-Qayyim that we read on Tuesdays. Bismillah, will come back to this chapter fully, fully, Bismillah. I hope that this is
Another question is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I read a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud that says one should not be too specific in his dua, like saying, "Oh Allah, I want to be in right side of Jannah." It should be white and decorated with this, that, and the gadi. Should this be a big, and it should be big, and so on. How do we reconcile with this hadith in this book and this one? Does that move ahead?
There is no disharmony between them. Usually people say reconcile, reconcile. This one says don't be unnecessarily detailed. This one say ask for what you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one says, in this hadith, it says, وَلِيَعْزِمِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. When you make your dua, be affirmative. Affirm what you ask for, what you make dua for. Show concern for your for what you want in your dua. The other one says, don't be unnecessarily, detailed in your dua. So I start asking, give right hand side, give me left hand side. This is asking for unnecessary details. They are not necessary. Don't forget that Al-Jannah is a prerogative of Allah for you. So when you ask him for Al-Jannah, he already told you that Lahum fiha ma yasha'un. You will get everything you want inside Al-Jannah. Everything you want. He now said, Wala dayna mazid. And we have more. Everything you want, Allah will give you more of it. Everything you want, he will give you more of it. So he said, everything you want, I'll give you. And I'll give you more of that. So instead of asking him for everything you want now, why not ask him for Al-Jannah now? Because if you are not in Al-Jannah, you can't get all these ones. You can't get everything you want if you are not in Al-Jannah. So which one should you pay your attention to? Asking him for Al-Jannah, where you are guaranteed that you will get everything you want, or asking him everything you want inside Al-Jannah? Definitely asking him for Al-Jannah, because he has guaranteed you. If you enter this Buddhist house, you get everything you want and better than you want. So don't bother yourself asking about those details, because those details are just about your mind now, which is small. Your mind, your thoughts are small now. Your thoughts are small now. It's just like a little young boy at age 5, maybe at age 3. The basic concern about them at that time is biscuit and sweet. As they grow up, the concerns change. When you grow up too, you get into Akhirah, your concerns will change. So now, will you be able to, maybe as age 25, we said, oh, when you were 3, you always asking for biscuits. So take biscuits when you are at age 25. Biscuit is no more your problem at age 25. So you are prohibited from asking for those kinds of things, that when the realities become clearer, those things will become like a child's play to you. Because what he has left in stock for you is bigger than what your mind can conceive. So just ask him, give me Al-Jannah. Don't ask for unnecessary details. So now when you are now asking him for Al-Jannah, bring this hadith into mind. Ask him with full attention. Ask him with good intention. Ask him, be affirmed, be affirmative. Allah, give me Al-Jannah. Allah, give me Al-Jannah. Allah, give me Al-Jannah, without being unnecessarily detailed about something that when you are giving just what you're asking for now, you begin to even detest it. Because things will change. Levels will change. Beauty will change. What you think is luxury now will look like a toilet to you when you get to Jannah. What you think now, if there is no thoughts of your mind now, except that you consider it useless if you come into Al-Jannah. So why are you using your knowledge of now to determine what Allah will give you in Akhirah? Even in this dunya, the enjoyment of the 18th century, what do we count it as now? Do we still count things of pleasure in 18th century as pleasure now? Things have moved ahead. We're in a generation where you don't touch a door to open a door. You don't need to touch the door to open the door. Once you approach, the door will open. So imagine someone saying in the 18th century, oh Allah, give me a door that when I turn it just once, the door will open. People who live now will laugh at you that you need to turn it. Is this your biggest door? I say that is his biggest door. A door that once I turn it, it will open. Okay, how about when you are approaching, you don't need to touch the door and the door opens. So that the gap between this dunya and al-jannah is so vast. So don't be asking for the details that will make the dua look at what is this one asking for. So that is how you connect these two narrations in cases like this. Don't be unnecessarily detailed about asking al-jannah left side, right side. This matter is bigger than what you can imagine. So don't employ small mind to ask about something that is big. Just ask him al-jannah. And then he has guaranteed you that inside al-jannah you get everything you want. So may Allah make us from the people of al-jannah.
Amen. Another question, please. Is it permissible to make dua by raising hands after every 5 daily salawats?
The Prophet did not used to do the daily salah, salam alaykum, in English. This is hands for dua. The Prophet was not doing that. Can we hear me? Can we hear me, Ikhwa?
Naam, ya Sheikh. Naam, we are here.
Now, we are having to raise whether the first tashahud or the second tashahud, if it were a 4-rak'at salah, make dua in them. Make dua in all your sujood. Make dua in all your sujood. Make dua in all your sujood. Make dua, a lot of dua, when you are up on tashahud, whether the first or the second or the last tashahud. Make dua. Make lots of dua. That is a place for dua in salah. When you make the sleep, there are adhkars. A lot of them. A lot of adhkars after salah. If you think about those adhkars, wallahi, we know that they are dua. For example, after taslim, you say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Is this dua or not? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Is this dua or not? You see now. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falak. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Are these dua or not? Yes, there are others that are not from al-ad'iyya to al-mas'ala, from those duas with which we ask. They come from dua ustana. Like when we say Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika la, these are dua uthana. But there is dua ul mas'ala too, like the ones who gave us examples after salah. But to say raising the hands up for dua immediately after salah. The Prophet was not doing that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a trouble comes, the person has one serious, urgent need immediately. Now. He can make that dua immediately after salah and raise his hands up immediately after that salah, making that salah as a means of tawassul, coming, seeking, putting forward a thing of nearness between himself and Allah before he makes that dua. If it happens once, twice, sometimes, because of the need of the circumstance, there is no blame. But that's something that he does regularly as a regular practice after every salah. The Prophet never did that, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said a lot of dua. The Prophet was always making dua, alayhi salatu wasalam. I hope that this is clear, Abdurrahman.
Naam, yes. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen.
Another question says, please, is it permissible to raise hand while Imam is making dua on Friday salam? Can we say amen louder as well?
When the Imam is making dua on the days of Juma, and it is from the Sunnah of Khutbah, from the Sunnah of the Khutbah of the Imam on the days of Juma, is that make dua. When he is making dua, don't raise your hands. He is not also supposed to raise his own hands. What he should raise is a finger, that finger with which we make at-tashahud, that we call as-sabaha. That is the finger that he should raise. Raise that finger and make dua, the sabaha, the one with which we make tahiyya. That is the finger to raise. That is how to make dua on the days of Juma. The way to make dua on the days of Juma is to raise that your sabaha or sababa up. You raise it, you point it, and then you make dua. That was what the Prophet used to do, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the days of Juma as the khatib. But the rest of us will be saying ameen, be saying ameen, be saying ameen. We will not raise up our hands. Don't raise your hands for dua on the days of Juma when the Imam is on the mimbar making dua. When the Imam is on the mimbar making dua on the days of Juma, don't raise your hands up. He will raise that finger and you'll be saying ameen. Don't raise your hands up. The companions is to prevent people from raising their hands up when the Imam is making the dua. In fact, there's a statement very tough against an Imam who raised his hands up in the dua on the day of Juma. However, if the dua on the day of Juma is connected to maybe Salatul Istisqa, the dua for rain, the salah for rain, that one happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jum'ah coincided with Salatul Istisqa. Oh, he made Istisqa while making khutbah. He was begging Allah for rain during Istisqa, during Jum'ah. So he raised his hands, alayhi salatu wasallam, because something else came into the regular Jum'ah practice. So he raised his hand. So you can do that if that kind of an urgency comes in. So if that kind of an urgency comes in, the Imam can raise his hands like that. But otherwise, the regular practice of the day of Juma is that he will point his finger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he makes the dua while on the mimbar after the khutbah. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
Jazakumullah
khairan. Ameen, Abdurrahman. The time is already far spent. Can we call it a day?
No, ya Shaykh. Jazakumullah khairan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.